Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful to be with you this morning as we move forward in the word of God. And the word that God gave us for this morning is you shall love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. We got to learn how to love God. And we got to love God actually better than we love ourselves. We got to love God with our heart, with our soul, with all our mind. You know, and the word that Jesus gave was you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We got to love each other because God is giving us an edit. We got to love. We got to care. We got to be who we are supposed to be, loving and kind. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, cool morning? But actually not so cool. It's about what?
No, it's not cool. It's 51 degrees. Good morning.
That's pretty nice outside.
It's beautiful, beautiful. 51 degrees, going to get up to 65. I'm blessed in the Lord and highly favored. Doing good.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Feeling good today. Hallelujah. And I just want to say thank you, Mother Valerie, for coming in and blessing us with your presence as we move forward in the Word of God today. So I am turning it over to Mother Valerie this morning as we go forth. And Mother Valerie, pray us in. Take us to the throne.
Good morning, people of God. God is a good God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and praise you for who you are. Lord, you did it again. Clock didn't wake us up. Like I usually say, clock didn't wake me up. You did. You did. You woke us up again. And I thank and praise you, God, for allowing us to speak your words. God, bless all the pastors as they go forth today. This is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, for you are a good God. No matter what we go through, you are good. You're good all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in Joshua 11:1-24. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent Jobab, king of Madon, to the king of Chevron, to the king of Asharp, and to the kings who were from the north, in the mountains, in the plain south of Timroth, in the lower land, and in the heights of Dorn on the west, to the Canaanites in the east, and in the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the mountains, and the Hivites below Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the water of Meron to fight against Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses, burn their chariots with fire." So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Meron, and they attacked them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them, chased them to greater Sidon, to the mount Misra, and to the valley of Misra, eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses, burned their chariots with fire. Joshua returned back at that time until Hazor struck his king with the sword. For Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms, and it struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. And so all the city of those kings and all their kings, Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on the mount, Israel burned none of them, except Hazor only with Joshua burned. And all the spoils of these cities and the livestock, the children of Israel took that bounty for themselves. But they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. They left none breathing, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant. So Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Gershon, the lower land, and the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel and its lower land, from Mount Hazak and the ascent to Sarah, even as far as Bel-Gad in the valley of Lebanon before Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings, struck them down, and killed them. Joshua made, you know, war is just hell. War is something else. I don't think I'll ever get used to war, because I'm glad I'm not a man and have to go to war. You have to do things that you don't really want to do. He struck all the people with the sword and killed them all. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, except the Hittites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle, for it was the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And at that time Joshua came, cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Deborah, and from Aiab, from the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. None of the Anakims were left in the land of the children of Israel, and they remained only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. Isn't that amazing? So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by the tribes. Then the land rested from war. I'm glad they got some rest. It said, then the land rested from war. Chapter 12. These are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel defeated, whose land they possessed on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Anon to Mount Hermon. and all the eastern Jordan plain. One king was Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelled in Hesbon, ruled half of Gilead. Bor, who dwelled in Hesbon and ruled half of Gilead, from Aaron, which is the bank of the river Arnon, from the middle of that river, even as far as the river Jabbok, which is the border of the Amorites, and the eastern Jordan plain, from the sea of Shinar, as far as the sea of Abad, the Red Sea, and the road to Beth Jeshimoth, and southward below the plains of Pisgah. The other king was king of Bashan, and his territory was of the regiment of the Jams, who dwelt at Asherah at Edrei, and reigned over Mount Hermon, over Sechout, over all Bashan, as far as the border of the Gershites, and Mephtah, and over half of Gilead to the border of Sihon, king of Hesbon. These Moses, the servant of the Lord, children of Israel, had conquered. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. These are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel conquered on this side of the Jordan, on the west from Baal-Gad and the valley of Lebanon, as far as Mount Hagar and the ascend to Seir, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions, in the mountain country, in the lower land, in the Jordan plain, in the slopes, in the wilderness, in the south, the Hittites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Jebusites, the king of Jericho, one, the king of Ai, which is beside Baal, one, the king of Jerusalem, one, the king of Hesbon, one, the king of Jarmut, one, the king of Lachish, one, the king of Edlon, one, the king of Gaza, one, the king of Derba, one, the king of Gilda, one, the king of Homa, one, the king of Arad, one, the king of Lebna, one, the king of Adu, one, the king of Meda, one, the king of Belza, one, the king of Tapa, one, the king of Tapa, one, the king of Apak, one, the king of Leshan, Sharon, one, the king of Mada, one, the king of Hezah, one, the king of Shevron, one, Maron, one, the king of Aspak, one, the king of Tanak, one, the king of Megiddon, one, the king of Kadesh, one, the king of Jotham, in Tamar, one, the king of Dorn, in the heights of Dorn, one, the king of the people of Gilead, one, the king of Tizah, one, all the kings, 31, Joshua 11:11. They struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly, it said utterly destroying them. Unreserved and total obedience lead to unreserved and total blessing. See Joshua 11:23, Joshua 11:20. It was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them. Our sovereign God hardens the hearts of some so he might execute his judgment on them. He can take even opposition and use it for his glory and our benefit. Joshua 11:23. Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord has said to Moses. Sometimes God doesn't keep his promises when or how we thought he would. God told Moses that Israel would take possession of the promised land, and that's just what happened in God's way and in God's time. It's not in your way or in your timing. It's God's way and in God's timing. Joshua 12 and 6. Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession to the Reubenites, Gadites, the tribe of Manasseh. It is wise to rehearse the spiritual victories God gives us. We do well to periodically remind ourselves of the truth we already know, so that we do not forget and act foolishly. Psalms 40. So we do not forget and act foolishly. You know, God is just a good God. He's good all the time. And we have to remember that God is good no matter what you're going through. It was all, you know what, all together it was 31 kings. He gave one to this king, one to that king, one to this king. It was 31 kings. Wow. Psalms 44:4-19. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. So through you, we will push down our enemies. Through your name, we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me, but you have saved us from our enemies. You have did that.
Amen.
Like, listen, Psalms 44:7. You have saved us from our enemies, have put to shame those who hated us. Regardless of the resources God gives us, we must not trust in them for success.
Amen.
We must put our hope in him alone. We should ask him how to use those resources, but never count on them for deliverance. God is good. I'm going to turn this over.
Amen. Amen. And I love where you came into our Psalms, and it says, but you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. You know, that God does that. You know, we folks don't like you for no reason. They don't know you, don't know anything about you, just don't like you. And, you know, I have to say to myself, Lord, if I have the spirit, please forgive me and please remove it. And, you know, because it's so easy to just dislike somebody, even though you don't know anything about them. And that's not right. Just because of how they look, how they dress, something about them just irks your spirit. We got to ask God to remove that and take that spirit away from us. And, you know, we don't want to be the ones hating, and we don't want to be hated. We want to love each other because God loves us, and he wants us to love as well. You know, as our word says for this morning, you shall love the Lord your God with every part of your being. And you shall love each other. That's what God is asking of us. And as we go into our psalm, it says, and God, we boast all day long and praise your name forever. Again, you shall love the Lord your God. You have cast
Amen.
Us off and put us to shame. And you do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy. And those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing and are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those all around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me. And the shame of my face has covered me because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. God loves us, and we can't depart from him. And David told him, he says, our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. But we know that when we are in the 23rd Psalm, David already said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, we know that God is with us even unto death. He is with us in our coming in. He is with us in our going out. He is with us always. And in Proverbs 14:1, it tells us, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he was perverse in his ways, despises him. We got to make sure that we are not tearing down, but building up. God wants us to be builders not destroyers. And we all know, and we've all heard, a house divided against itself will not stand. And a home divided against itself will not stand. When you got parents pitting children against children, and this one against that one, you're not going to survive as a family. It's going to be a whole lot of foolishness, a whole lot of hatred, and a whole lot of distrust. And we got to really pray on God to watch us and keep us from doing that and to have us to be the best we can be, because that's just the kind of God we serve, one who loves us, who cares about us, and who wants the best for us. We got to love each other. And as we go to the book of Luke, we're still in Luke chapter 10 this morning. And when we go into Luke chapter 10, we will be in 11 on tomorrow. But as we finish up 10, we got to remember this. You know, this is a lot going on here. And the story of the Samaritan, you know, we got to know who to take care of, how to take care of each other. And this is what Jesus said. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And this is what Jesus is telling all of us today, what we must do to inherit eternal life. And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Mother Valerie, I can't hate on you.
Amen. No.
Because Jesus said that I got to love my neighbor as myself. I can't hate on anyone because I'm supposed to love you. That's what God said. And if I say that I am a Christian, that I want eternal life, I got to love the Lord my God first and foremost with every part of my being, with my heart, with my soul, with my strength, with my mind. I got to love God. But I can't say I love God and hate you. I can't say I love God and want to treat you badly. I can't say I love God and act all ugly to my neighbor. Talking about I can't stand him, I can't stand her, then I'm a hypocrite. I can't do that. And then it says, and he said to him, "You have answered rightly, do this and you will live." But he wanting to justify himself said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring an oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So when all of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now understand, Samaritans were like people that were mixed race. They were not fully Hebrew. They were not fully Gentile. They were a combination of Gentile and Hebrew. And so they were looked down upon. They were not treated like everybody else. They were the least among them, let's put it that way. So they just considered them Gentile. But now understand that when he looked at them and he said, now you think about this. The Levite, who is supposed to be one of the heads of the church, right? That would be like in our day, that would be like a pastor. And then they had the priest. And we know the priest is the highest of the Levi. They are the ones that go behind the veil. So that would be like the head, the reverend of a church. So you got a reverend of a church. You got, let's say, a deacon of the church. Now, the reverend on his way to church, and he looks over like, no, I don't see him. And the deacon on his way to church, don't see him. But now that little guy that just comes in, sits in the back, you know, feeling sometimes like they're not really a part of everything, but they know they love God, and they know that I should love my neighbors, whether they look like me or don't. And that's the one that helps the person. That's the one that does what they need to do. Take them to a doctor. Pay for it. Everything. Do we do that? Do we help anyone? Or do we just say, nope, not today. I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to look the other way. How many times do you pass the homeless and turn your head so that they don't look at you and you don't look at them? How many times do you walk past people that are least among us when we don't know their story? But understand, you got to be careful too, because sometimes they have spirits that you don't want to touch, and you're not equipped to touch. You can see the demonic spirit all over them. That's when you keep walking and you pray and you rebuke and you bind, but you don't get close. That's when you have to give to God, because if you're not equipped to deal with demonics, then you don't go near it. You have to be careful. And it tells us this as well. You never know when you may be entertaining angels unaware as well. So we have to ask God for discernment of spirits. And it says, and he said, he who has showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise to show mercy. We have to be kind. We have to be loving. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, and we know this is the sisters of Lazarus, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with him, much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And we all know that Mary is the one that many say is the one with that alabaster box, the one with the alabaster jar of costly oil, who poured it on the Savior, who anointed him, that it was this Mary who sat at his feet and learned from him as a sister was busy trying to get this done and that done, when the most important thing was being in the presence of the Lord. And as we go back to Mary of Bethany, a life devoted to God, each time we look at the life of Mary of Bethany through the window afforded us in the Gospels, we find her at the feet of Jesus, John 11:32-12-3. In Mary, Jesus discerns a heart of devotion and love to the things of God. Mary accepted Jesus' word when he spoke of his death and resurrection, and she applied them to her life by humbling herself before him and desiring only to serve the Lord. Her attitude marked her as a woman mighty in spirit, and you can have this trait when you commit yourself to Christ. Ask him to make you aware of anything that keeps you from sitting at his feet. In heart devotion, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you a deep love for God's word. And that's what we have, Mother Valerie, a deep love for God's word. I don't want to just read it. I want to be able to apply it to my life. And it says his feet, and it says sitting at his feet in heart devotion, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you a deep love for God's word. This is what Mary cherished, the word of God spoken to her, and it is your greatest source of comfort and hope. And Jesus said, Mary, in Luke 10 and 42, Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. God created us to enjoy a deep and intimate relationship with himself. And while works of service are important, they must never eclipse the fellowship he wants to experience with each of us. We've got to spend time with God. And, you know, every morning I try to go into prayer. I have a Bible app that I listen to. And there's a prayer component. And I pray with that prayer every morning. It's a different prayer, but I pray every day for God to guide and to lead and to take us to higher heights and deeper depths so that we are where we are supposed to be in him. That it's not about us, but about him. That we love him with every part of our being, and that we are not have selfish love. That we have a love that is wide and deep. And my prayer for this morning is self-discipline. And it says we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon, race with passion and determination for the path that's been already marked out before us. And that is coming out of the TPT version of the Bible. But I'm going to go over and come out of King James. And it says in Hebrews. And I'm going to Hebrews right now. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Amen.
And as we look into chapter 2, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says the race of faith. And when you read verse 1, you have to read verse 2, because verse 2 brings it all together. So one more time, as we go back to this verse, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says, mighty God, I invite your perfect presence to meet me where I am today. I don't pretend to be in a place that I'm not. I'm not going to try to convince myself that I've got it all together. If only that were true. But no, you don't require perfection. You don't even require that I be in a good place. Thank you that you accept me just as I am, faults, fallings, and all. Again, thank you for finding good in me when I have good, bad, and ugly. Just as I
Amen.
Am. Lord, I will not forget that others have gone before me, and still others are on their own journeys of faith with you. None of these paths are without obstacles or pain. I will not fool myself into thinking that I am alone in my struggles. Instead, I ask for the grace to let go of things I can't control. Leave behind the sin that tries to sidetrack me, and trust that you will kill me as I walk the path of forgiveness for your presence and for the power found in you. And the question today is, what do you need to let go of today? Whew, what do you need to let go of today? Think on these things. Ask God, Lord, what do I need to let go of today?
Amen.
You know, because we all are going through. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. But we have to let go and let God. And to love the Lord. Love God with every part of your being, with your heart, which we know pumps the blood through our veins. Think that through. The heart pumps the blood through our veins. As the song says, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day.
Amen.
It will never lose its power. Jesus gave us the blood that flows through our veins. When we accepted him, we say we are covered by the blood of Jesus. That blood seeps into us and is in our DNA. Hallelujah. We know who we are divinely, and we are, nothing but anointed. Hallelujah. We are divinely nothing but anointed. Got our DNA from Jesus. And it flows in our heart, that flows through the blood and purifies as it goes through our body. And our soul is how we speak with God. And the strength that he gives us, it is the strength that comes from knowing that he is with us every day. And our mind is how we talk to God. We talk to God. We don't have to scream high. We don't have to scream low. We don't have to shout to everybody. We can just sit quietly and talk with God, and nobody knows that we're talking to him. Eyes closed, heart open. Lord, just speaking to him in your mind. He has given us the Holy Spirit so we can commune with him. Hallelujah. And, you know, there are those that say it's telepathy. It's just my heart, my soul, my mind. It all belongs to him. And it says then that we should love each other. I love you, Mother Valerie. And I thank God for you. I thank God for your help. I thank God for your words of wisdom. I thank God for you. And we have to learn
Amen.
To love each other. Because, you
Amen.
Know, Mother Valerie knows my testimony. When I first saw her and her sister, I was a little afraid of them because they liked a certain seat, and I was in their way one Sunday, and I'm like, whoa, let me move. I'm a little short person, and they're kind of tall, and I was, like, intimidated. And then her nephew, who I love to pieces, he's like my nephew, but her great-nephew, one day, you know, he said, Miss Bridget, can you take me and my auntie home? And I'm like, absolutely. I took her home and got to know her and thought, oh, she is the nicest lady. You know, I took her home and then took him to church and then took him back to her house. And I found out she was a sweetheart, just an absolute sweetheart. And that's why you don't look at people and assume you know them. You got to get to know them. Because they wind up being a godmother to you. They may wind up being a good friend and someone that you respect and love. You don't know anyone until you get to know them. So don't
Amen.
Judge by what you think or by what someone is taller than you. You don't look at that. You look at their heart and you get to know them. Because as
Amen.
Mother said on yesterday's show, they were real quiet. So they weren't real boisterous, and they didn't talk. And mother was taking pictures even back then. But it was like, because of their height, I was a little bit intimidated. And because they were on a mission to get there, they was on a mission to get to the Lord. And so when you don't understand, you got to get to know. And I love them both. And again, I was introduced because of that to Aunt Rita through Carolyn, who we will have a word from very shortly. Understand, God puts people in your place and in your heart for a purpose and a reason. So we got to not judge. We got to embrace. We don't know anybody until we get to know them. So don't go by he said, she said. Get to know them for yourself, because you might be surprised. They may wind up being your family. Amen. That's right. Love you, mother. And as before we go anywhere this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And again, I always laugh because Sister Carolyn be up in the morning like I do. And God gives you a word when you least expect it, because you know she's chosen. And the word for this morning was this. God will take what the enemy meant for bad and make it for your good. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Have a thankful, thirsty family. Be grateful, be thankful, and know that you are blessed as you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And as you love me, your neighbor, as I love you, my neighbor. We want to walk in righteousness. We want to have that Samaritan spirit to help those that we least expect. Helping others is how God helps us. Thanking God this morning for a great word and thanking him for his love. Mother Valerie, we don't have a long show today. This is all I have. If you have anything else, or if there is someone that has a word that would like to speak, now is the time.
Amen. She said, now is the time. Now is the time. You know what I really like? I like that what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Joshua did everything that Moses told him to do. And, you know, I just wouldn't want to be a man of war. But Joshua had to kill a lot of people because he was a man of war. And he did exactly what Moses told him to do. He did it. If he had to kill, he killed. He killed all those kings. And all together, it was 31 kings. I said, my goodness gracious me, man of war. And I also like what she said about Mary. Mary had chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Mary had chosen to stand and listen into the presence. She had chosen to be in the presence of Almighty God. And said Mary had chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And that's what we need to do. We need to choose. You make a choice. I choose. You can choose to be in the presence of God if you want to. It's left up to you. Make a choice. Make a choice. It's that God created us to enjoy a deep and intimate relationship with himself. That's what God wants. We are the children of the Most High God. God wants us to be intimate with him. Every day that you get up, you can thank God. You can praise God. You can say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to go to work and having an angel over me and not letting me get hurt today, bringing me back home where I can rest in my own bed, giving me food to eat, giving me shelter. We need to be grateful, grateful children of the Most High God. Thank him for all the things that he do. Thank him for your grandchildren. Thank him for the family that you were born into. Just be gracious and kind and thank God for everything that he do. Thank him for the temperature being 51. Thank him for the spring
Thank him for the flowers, the birds, the bees, and the trees. We need to thank God. We need to thank him. Thank God that we have Table of Life Ministries where we can go and gather together and praise the Lord. Thank him for Pastor Jesse, Pastor Bridget, Pastor Washington. We need to be grateful that we have teachers. We need to thank God that we have children, that Pastor Bridget had a son that was born on the same day that she was born, that she have grandchildren, that she have a mother, a father, that she was here, that she's still here, that we had the eclipse. We need to thank God that we're walking, that we're breathing, that we're talking, that we can eat, that we can move, that we can exercise. Oh, we need to be grateful and thank God. Just thank him. Thank God that he's God and that he did it again. He gave us the eclipse, gave the sunrise, gives the sunset. We need to be thankful. Somebody else want to talk? I thought I heard somebody else get on the line.
Good morning. Good morning. Your line is open.
Yes. You know, I want to thank God that he instructed me to come back here in 2021. Little did I know I'd be going through challenges upon challenges, but God helped me overcome them. I am thankful that I can use my right leg. I still have it. I call my right leg miracle. Three or four times now, doctors have said that I have a 90% chance I'm going to lose it. Well, guess what? God gave me that 10. That 10 turned into 100. And I thank God I still have my miracle. I thank God for Mother Valerie. She lets me call her mama. I never had a close relationship with my birth mother, but I thank God for her. I thank God for Mother Valerie and for you, Pastor Bridget. The things that you have taught me, you just don't know the blessing you are in my life. We call each other sisters, and I hold that deep in my heart. I'm so grateful to God that I have breath in my body. I have eyes that I can see. You know,
amen.
We have to get on every single thing today. Each second, look and see what God has given you, and you will be thanking him all the day long. And that will be it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Man.
What a word.
Amen.
What a nice way to end this morning. Thank you so much,
yes.
Evangelist Teresa. And as always, you know you are in our prayers. You are in our thoughts. You are in everything. We believe in God with you. We touch an agreement that you will not lose a leg and that God will keep you up and that you will, he will keep you from falling. Hallelujah. That he will keep you from falling. We are believing God for that because we know
Amen.
That you have a love for God's children. You have a love for his people. And we know that we love you too.
Amen. Amen. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, God, today. Thank you, God, today.
Yes,
Mother Valerie,
yes.
My situation has been fixed. By the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Won't he do it?
Amen. Yes,
Amen.
He will.
Amen. For those that listen, we are actually on a direct connect this morning with my computer, thanking God that I have one. I had some issues with my phone this morning where it just got humongous and I could not get into it. But for my job, I have to have my phone because I clock in and clock out on it. And so I need to be able to communicate. And it had just gotten enormous, and I didn't know what to do. And God, just now, as I was listening to you, evangelist, not giving up. We can't give up. We got to strive and continuously strive to do what we need to do, to get done what we need to get done. So I thank God for today. I thank God for you all. Mother Valerie, Ashley Evangelist Teresa, pray us out this morning. And may the Lord watch between you and me, you and us, while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we all pray for you and yours, family. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening in this morning. Thank you for being a part of this moving forward experience. Evangelist, pray us out this morning.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this day, but Father God, let me ask you, God, to cleanse me from all sins, seen, thought, or did. Cleanse me from all the iniquities, God. I want my prayer to be heard in heaven. Father God, I thank you, God, for Blog Talk Radio, how you blessed Pastor Bridget, God, to have us bring us your word, God. How my mother, Mama Valerie, can bring your word with eloquency. God, I am not eloquent words like Moses, but God, I still bring your word the way you want me to bring it, God. I thank you, God, for each and every listener around the world, God. How one and two, and God, you just keep numbering us out, God. Help us live these last days, Father God. Let us not go astray, Father God. Let us come together in groups, God, to become a whole entire nation, God. We shall draw others today, and I thank you, God, for the strength, for the power, and the might that you have given us, Father God. Lord, I ask you, God, to touch, God, Evangelist Shannon, God, as she goes through, Lord, with her death and her family again, God. Oh, God, lead her, guide her, and protect her, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for giving me a church home at the table of life where I am fed all the time. I thank you, I praise you, and I glorify your mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. To God gets the glory. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness, for the joy and the peace that can only come from you. We thank God this morning. And we thank God for all of you that listened in, that listen live, and that listen later. May God bless you. May God keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you peace in every endeavor that you must, that you face. Thank you so much, Evangelist. We appreciate you. We love you, and we know that God's got you covered. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. And we know that no weapon formed against you will prosper in Jesus' name. Praise God, family. Praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise him today and thank him today. And have a blessed day because, ladies, what is it? It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's
have
a
blessed day. It's a wrap.
God bless you all.
God bless you all. It's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.